You guys can go ahead and be seated. We are starting a new four-week sermon series called Belong. And the sermon series, as you guys have heard and you probably already know, it's about church membership. I remember several years ago, I went to a Mission Fuge camp with a lot of our students and went down to Nashville, and we were going to do various mission work all throughout the city. And one of the things I was most excited about is we were going to go down town Nashville, and we're going to be involved with a soup kitchen to feed the homeless. And I was really excited about getting to serve them and hopefully get the opportunity to share the gospel with some of the homeless people down there. So when we were down there, I got to know a guy, we'll call him Rick. And as I was in conversation with Rick, we had a certain evangelism tool that we were going to use. And one of the questions we were supposed to ask in this evangelism tool was, where do you go to church? And the idea behind that question was, where do you go to church, would give us a reading on if they were a believer, if they were a Christian, if they were part of a local church. So me and Rick were having a conversation. I said, so Rick, tell me, where do you go to church? And he turned to me and he said, church, this is my church. See, I love Jesus. And Jesus says, wherever two or three people are, there is where he is. You see, I don't need a place like that. And he pointed up to a church building with a steeple in the distance. He said, I don't need that. That's an institution. That's not what Jesus had in mind. See, what Jesus had in mind was for us to love him, love everybody, and if we do that, that is the church. You know, he's not the only one who feels that way. In fact, I think our culture in a large degree has questions about, is the local church really important? Is it important that I'm part of a local church? In fact, Donald Miller, a very popular Christian writer and author, wrote Blue Like Jazz just in a recent blog, admitted that he finds no need to go to church. He said he doesn't get anything out of it. He doesn't get anything out of the sermon. He doesn't connect with God through worship. So for him, he says church is everything to him. So the way he works, that's how he experiences God, and he finds no need to actually go to a place to hear a sermon and to sing a song. And maybe you wouldn't say that, but perhaps some of you are wondering the same thing. Is this really important, what we're doing? Because I think to some of us, church really is the way Donald Miller sees it. It's just a place we come to get something. So it's just a preaching point. You come here, you hear a sermon, and you go home, and that's really all you see in the value of a church. And the problem with that is, if that's the only value is just a preaching point, I promise you, on your way home, there are podcasts that are going to sound better than the sermon I'm going to preach this morning. So I would say, if that's the only reason you're coming to church, tune into a podcast, because there's probably a guy out there who's doing a better job than I'm going to do this morning. But what I would say is the church is much more than just a preaching point. It's much more than just a place we come to hear a sermon, though it is that. But it's also a body of believers who gather together to do something significant, and that is be the body of Christ. And what we want to say during this series, here's our big goal. We want you to formally join us to be the church. That's the whole goal of why we'd want you to belong. Why do we want you to be a member? We want you to formally belong to us, not just to come to church, not just to attend church, but to actually be the church. So that's the goal. That's what we want at the end of this four series, is for you to be the church by formally belonging to us. So in order to talk about church membership and the thought of joining, here's what I want to do. I want to ask three questions this morning, and hopefully I want to answer these three questions. Here's the three questions. What is church membership? That's number one. Number two, why should I be a church member? And then number three, how do I become a church member? So those are three questions that I want to answer this morning as we start our four-week series on church membership. Now, as we think about church membership and these three questions, I realize there are at least two different audiences that I'm talking to. Some of you are church members. Some of you aren't currently church members. So let's say the church members in here. Why in the world should you set through a four-week series about church membership? You're saying, I've already joined. I've done that. I've checked it off. I'm here. So do I just take a vacation for the next 4 weeks and then come back for Route 66? I would say absolutely not. Because here's what we want. If you're a church member, here's what we desire. For you to have a renewed vision for what it means to be a church member. That you get excited about getting to be a church member and what that means, and that you would evaluate, am I doing what a church member is expected to do here at Harbin Baptist Church? If you're not a church member, here's what we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to pray about joining us, to pray about formally committing to this body of believers to truly be the church. Now, some of you are regular attenders. You're here all the time. You're participating. You're gathering. You're connecting. You're giving. You're going. You're doing all the things that we expect of a member. So what we would say to you is, why don't you formally commit to do what you're already doing practically? It's an easy step. Just join and publicly say, hey, I'm part of you guys. Maybe you're an occasional attender. You come every once in a while. I hope during this series you would see the value of the church and the value of being a member of the church. And if you're a visitor, we're in no way expecting after this series for you to join up with us. You might, that would be great. But if you're a visitor, what we're really expecting is for you just to learn some stuff about the church and what church membership is. So now what we're going to do is we're going to dive in to these three questions. What is church membership? Why should I become a church member? And how do I become a church member? So the first question we're going to look at is, what is church membership? That's an important thing. If we're going to ask you to become a church member, we've got to understand, what is a church member? What does that mean when we say that? Now, there's a word in there that we really have to dive into and define before we talk about church membership, and that is the word church. So what exactly is the church? That's where we're going to start. Well, here's what it says in Matthew 16, 18. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Here's what he says. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is talking to Peter, who's just confessed, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And what I think he's saying is, yes, and on that confession, I'm going to build my church. Now, there's two things I want to point out in this about the church. And here are the two things. If we could flip to the next slide, please. Here's the two things about the church. It's Jesus built, and it's Jesus owned. Those are two really important things to note. Here's what Jesus says. I will build. So this is Jesus's doing. We didn't create the church. We didn't come up with the church. This is Jesus's doing. He built it. But not only that, but he owns it. He says, I will build my church. Now, what does that word church mean? What's that term? Well, most of you know in the Greek, it's ekklesia. You've heard that word used in reference to the church. What did ekklesia mean? It simply means a gathering, an assembly. In Greek culture, it was used to say there was a civic organization that was gathered. That was an ekklesia. It was a gathering. It was a collection of people. It was a body of people. So what Jesus is saying is, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my gathering. I'm going to build my assembly. And as we see, what happens is there is further stuff that gets on that assembly where it actually becomes a body and it becomes a bride and all these other things. So what exactly is the church? Well, here's a definition from our pastor, Brother Ricky. Here's what he says about the church. It's a body of baptized believers who meet together to carry out the agenda of heaven. So what is the church? Here's what Brother Ricky defines the church as: a body of baptized believers who meet together to carry out the agenda of heaven. Now, there's another thing I want to note about the church, and it's this, that we'll go ahead and flip to the next slide. It's not a people, or it is a people, it's not a place. That's very important for you to know about the church. It is a people, not a place. So it's not this building that is Harbin Baptist Church. It's not the walls, it's not the stage, it's not the chairs. It is you that's Harbin Baptist Church. You, as baptized believers who have came together, who have met together this morning, we are the church. And there are several metaphors that are going to describe the church, and here's what they are: a body, a bride, a flock, and a family. Now, there's more metaphors that describe the church, but I want you to see how these really encompass. It's a people, not a place. Paul says it's a body is what the church is. And they're individual members, but they come together as a body. It's a bride. It's a living thing that Jesus loves and died for. It's a flock. You got this picture of all these sheep that are coming together, but the church, it's a flock, and it's also a family. It's adopted children that come in to this new family of God. So we see from Jesus, he's got a gathering, not a place, but a gathering that he's pulling together. And we see these biblical metaphors that show it's not a place, but it's a people. It's a people gathered to be the church, to be the ecclesia of Christ. So we see these various metaphors. So that's what the church is. The church is a gathering. It's not just a preaching point. It's not just a place you come to sing. It's a place you come to be something. You are being the church. You are being the body of Christ. So that's why we think it's important to be a member of the local church. Because there's a universal church and there's a local church. If you're a Christian, you're part of the universal church. You're part of the bride of Christ. Everyone is part of that as a believer. But as we see in the New Testament, there's also significance in being part of a local church. So there's local church, that would be us, Hardin Baptist, a body with many members, but there's also in a sense a universal church, the bride of Christ that everyone is a part of. But what you see in the New Testament, it is inconceivable to be a Christian and not be part of a local church, not to be part of a body to show and express who you are, which is the body of Christ. So, what is the church? That's the church. An assembly that Jesus built, Jesus owned. It's both universal, but it's also local. And it's important, we feel, to join up and be part of that local body to express who you are, which is the body. So, with that said, what then is church membership? We've talked about the church. What then is church membership? Well, here's what church membership is. Here's just a definition that we put together. It's formally belonging to a local fellowship of believers to be the church. That's what we believe church membership is. Notice it's formally. It's you have to announce this. You have to say this in some way that, yes, I am part of you. And yes, you are part of me. It's an understanding. It's a known thing. It's something that we have to make public among one another to formally say, yes, I belong to this church. And that's what membership is all about. Formally being a member of that gathering that Jesus is putting together. So here's a verse from Corinthians. Here's what 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. Now you are the body of Christ. Now he is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to a specific local church, not to all churches. He's writing to this church. Here's what he says. You are the body of Christ. You guys together are the body of Christ. But then he says, and individual members of it. So this church is the body of Christ, but each person that's part of that gathering is a part of the body of Christ. And if you look at that whole text, he's talking about there's an ear and there's a nose and there's a foot, and everyone has to come together to do their part to truly be the body, to build up the body, and to be that expression of the body of Christ. So what Paul would say to us at Hardin, I think, is, hey, Hardin, you guys are the body of Christ. You in this community are an expression of the body of Christ. And then he would say, individuals who are members of this church, you are individual members of that body. So I think his question would be, are you doing your part? Are you doing your part to help grow this body, to help nurture this body, and to help advance the kingdom through this body? Now, one of the things we see in church membership is mutual commitment. That's kind of a big idea. Mutual commitment, mutual submission, mutual accountability, mutual encouragement that happens in church membership. And here's what we see Paul says about the church at Ephesus. He says that they are submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the church at Ephesus, they are submitting to one another. So you've got members submitting to other members. They are accountable to one another. They are connecting with one another. They are encouraging with one another. When there's a wrong that's done, they are forgiving one another. They are in it for one another, not for themselves. There is mutual commitment between the members at the Ephesus church. So that's member to member. But also there's a commitment from member to leadership and leadership to members. Here's what it says in Hebrews. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. So there's this, as a member, you are also submitting to the leadership of the church. And as the leadership of the church, we are entrusted to watch over you. Now the question is, without church membership, how does this play out? If you're not a member among us, then what does it mean when it says submit to your leaders? Well, the question is, who are your leaders? Is that every Christian leader? Is that every Christian leader all throughout the country and all across the world? No, Paul's saying that there's a specific group of leaders, your leaders, which implies you belong to that group that there's leaders over. And those leaders are supposed to be entrusted and have care over the flock that's under them. So who are the leaders responsible for? It says to give an account for you. So there has to be some sort of membership going on there where the members know these are my leaders and the leaders know these are the people under me. So we see in church membership, there's mutual commitment between members and between leadership. And that's why it's really important to join, to be a member of a local church. So the big question is that I want to get to is this really biblical? Because what I want to say is your first motivation for joining the church should be, if it's biblical, I'm going to do it. In other words, if Jesus wants me to do this, I'm going to do it no matter what. For me, that was my big step. If it's biblical, I'm doing it because I want to be a person who lives by the word of God. So I would say absolutely church membership is biblical. And here's some reasons why. First is the book of Acts. What we see in the book of Acts is a pattern. Here's the pattern: conversion and connection. We see it from the very beginning. We have 120 disciples of Jesus who come together. Then they go and Peter preaches the gospel. And then we have 3,000 added to that number. So they're keeping track of how many. They're adding people to that number. So it's conversion, but Peter doesn't say, now go live out your Christian life. He says, no, now you connect to us. Now we have 3,000 more members. And then it says day by day after that, they're adding people to their number. So they're keeping track of how many people are coming to Christ, how many people are now connected to their church. We see Paul in his missionary journeys. Every town he goes into, when people come to Christ, he connects them together. He puts leadership over them, and they become the church at Ephesus, at Corinth, at all the various places, at Galatia, the different places he goes, he sets up a local church. So that when you get to Acts 20, he could say this to the elders at the church of Ephesus: pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. So he's writing to the elders at Ephesus, and here's what he tells them to do. Watch over the flock. Take care of the flock. Now, the question is, the pastors at Ephesus, who in the world is their flock? There's a lot of Christians at this point. Paul's not saying watch over all Christians. He's saying watch over your flock, and your flock is the ones at Ephesus. So the ones that belong to this specific local church, that is who you are to watch over, because God has made you an overseer of just them. Not everyone, but just them. So this would be impossible if there was not some formal way of identifying who are the church in Ephesus. It's not that the elders are to look over all the people in Ephesus. No, it's the church in Ephesus. Those people who have said, yes, we belong to Jesus. We belong to you. I'm part of the flock. Therefore, watch over me and guard over me because I am part of this church. We also see biblical support. We see the New Testament letters. Most of the New Testament letters are written to a specific church. For instance, to the church of God that is in Corinth. The letters aren't to anonymous Christians everywhere. It's no, to a specific church, a specific gathering of people, which shows there were local churches all throughout the New Testament. We also see in Revelation, Jesus addresses seven specific local churches and tells about their deeds, what they've done, how they're behaving. So again, that gives evidence to that's a local church that Jesus is really speaking about. We also see church discipline. And I actually want to read a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because church discipline gives strong evidence to church membership. In fact, without church membership, you can't have any form of church discipline. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. So Paul's saying there's sexual morality going on, not in the town, but in you. So a specific group of people, the church, it's going on among you and of a kind that is not even tolerated among pagans. In other words, so the outsiders, those who are not part of the church, they don't even tolerate this kind of sexual morality. What is it? That for a man has his father's wife. So here a son is sleeping with his mother. This is a horrific sin. And what Paul says is it's happening inside this church, and it's not even something that's tolerated outside the church. So there's this thing of inside and outside. This was a person who belonged inside the church. And he says, are you arrogant? They were bragging like, well, God's grace is sufficient. This is okay. We can do whatever we want. He says, ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. So this unrepented, blatant, public, horrific sin, Paul says, you need to remove him from among you. Now the question is, how could he be removed from some place he didn't first belong to? See, this guy formally belonged to the church. Therefore, they could formally remove him from the church as an act of loving grace, because the goal is for this guy to repent and come back to the church. And then Paul makes a statement in verse 12. For what have I to judge outsiders? Is it not the insiders, the church, whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So here Paul says, look, I'm not judging those outside the church. I'm not judging our town. I'm not judging our community. I'm not judging our nation. What I am judging is the insiders, those who belong to us. Those are the ones that we're holding accountable. Those are the ones that we're making sure they're following after Jesus Christ. So we see this inside-outside mentality, which shows the biblical support for church membership. And not only discipline, but church decisions. We see in Acts 15 that they had a decision to be made, so they gathered the church together. They made their case before the church. The church approved it. Then the church sent letters to other gathered churches. So we see that the church, their coming together, would have been a local church. Who's going to gather? It's the church, the ones who belong there. Who's going to make the decision? The church, those people who we formally say, yes, they are part of us. So we see, for these reasons, we see a strong biblical support for church membership. So what is church membership? We'll say it again. It's formally belonging to a local fellowship of believers to be the church. That's important, to be the church. Not just show up, not just attend, not just to think about it, not just to come to it, but to be the church. That's what we really desire for you, is to be the church. So what is church membership? That's what church membership is. We think it's extremely biblical. So the second question would be this. Why should I be a church member? That's kind of, hopefully all of your questions now are directed to, why should I do this? I mean, other than it's biblical, that's really the reason why you should. But what are other reasons why I should join Hardin Baptist Church? Why should I join this church? Well, the first thing I want to say is this. It's not for perks, but it's for privilege. You're not joining the church for the privileges that you get from joining the church, or the perks you get from joining the church. You join the church because it is a privilege. I love what Tom Raynard says. He says this, church membership doesn't simply have privileges, it is a privilege. That's in his book, I Am a Church Member. Great book, I recommend it to you. See, a lot of times when we join a civic organization, when we become a member, what we're joining is for the perks. We join Southwest. Why? Because the more we fly, the more free tickets we get. We join Starbucks because we get little stars and we get free drinks, right? It's all about the perks. We join this certain country club because we get perks that go with it. But what we would say about Hardin is you're not joining here for the perks, but you're joining here because it is a privilege to be a church member. See, the difference in a civic membership is you are a consumer. So it's all about you, what you can consume, what you can get out of it. But the difference is in the church, you're not a consumer, but you're a producer. You're not here to consume. You're not here to get. You're here to give. So it's actually a privilege to just be the church. Why? Because you're expressing who Christ has made you to be, the body of Christ. So my appeal to you is not going to be, if you become a member, you get discounts and you get first place seating and you get free coffee and all these other things. Although there are some perks that come with being a member. You get to vote on things. There's certain leadership you can be in. You can be an adult Bible fellowship teacher. There's certain things that only members can do. But we're not going to go for all those perks to compel you to be a member. What we want to say is it's a privilege. And these are the four reasons why we believe it's really important and also should be appealing for you to want to join the church, because it is privilege. The first reason is this: commitment. Commitment. Why should I join the church? you should join the church for commitment. Here's what you're saying when you join the church. I believe and commit to the mission of this body. That's the big thing you're saying when you join the church. You're saying, I'm in. I commit to it. I believe in the mission and the vision of Hardin Baptist Church. I believe we're going somewhere. I believe this is worth my time, and I want to buy into it. I want to be part of that. You believe in our mission, which is simply stated to be a growing disciple who makes disciples. That's what we want to do. We want to be a growing disciple who makes disciples. That's what we believe Jesus wants us to do, to connect together, to grow each other more like Jesus, but then also to make more disciples of all nations. That's what we want to do as a church. And you becoming a member says, that's what I want to do as well. And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to do. So you know what? I'm going to formally say, yes, I am committing myself to that. So church membership, why should you join? To say, yes, I'm committed to this church and the vision behind this church for the sake of Christ. The second one is for partnership. Why should I join? For the sake of partnership. Here's what you say when you join. You say, I will do my part to fulfill our mission. Here's what you're saying when you join our church. Not only do I believe it, but I'm going to do it. Not only do I believe in growing and making disciples, but I'm going to actually do my part to grow disciples who make disciples. I'm going to do my part in the vision and the mission of Hardin Baptist Church. And you can hold me accountable to make sure I'm doing my part, because I really want this church to make a difference in the world for the sake of Christ. So I want to pause here just for a moment, and I want to ask the question, well, what exactly does that mean? What do we expect from our church members? That'd be a good question. Before we go any further, if we're talking about partnership, doing certain things, what in the world does Hardin expect me to do as a church member? Some of you as members might be wondering the same thing. I really have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing as a church member. We want to define that for you. And what we're going to do is the next 2 weeks, we're going to preach on these five things that we expect from you and that you can expect from us. But here's the five things. If you are a member at Hardin, here's what we expect. We expect you to gather, connect, serve, give, and go. Those are the five things that we expect you to do as a member. Those five things we feel like are what you should be doing as a disciple of Jesus who desires to make disciples. That's what we want you to do. Now, I'm not going to spell those out in any way, because we're going to spend two sermons spelling those out. But just if you're thinking, okay, what is the commitment? What is my expectations? It's to gather, to connect, to serve, to give, and to go. That is how you partner with us to truly be about the mission of the church and the mission of Jesus. Thirdly, it's for accountability. Why should you become a member? For accountability. This is really big. And here's what I think you're saying in accountability. I am prone to wonder, and I need accountability. I need accountability in my life, because I know that I am prone to become apathetic about the gospel, to be apathetic about missions, to be apathetic about growing in my personal walk. So what I need is a group of people who are saying, hey, Corey, we're going to make sure that you stay on fire for the Lord. We're going to make sure that you're encouraged with Scripture. We're going to make sure you're encouraged with prayer. And if we see you falling away, we are going to come to your side to rescue after you, because we want to make sure that we're saying to one another as members in leadership, I've got your back and you've got my back. We're going to hold each other accountable to live out a life that glorifies God. And hopefully, if you are a believer in Christ, you desire this, because you know that you're prone to wonder. You know that you're prone to get out on your own and do your own thing and neglect the things of God. And what you want is a people to come together and say, make sure that you encourage me. Make sure that you hold me accountable. Make sure that you push me in my walk with Christ, because I want to do the same for you. So the third reason why you should be a member is for accountability. I know that for some is pushback, because we don't like accountability, don't like authority, we want to kind of do it on our own. But that's that flesh within us. So what we need to put to death the flesh, we need the Spirit to overwhelm us. So one of the good things about church membership is it helps in that, for the Spirit to really rule and reign in your heart. And the fourth thing we're going to see, why should you become a member, It's identity. Why should you become a member? It is for identity. Here's what you're saying when you become a member in regards to identity. I'm part of something bigger than myself. I'm part of the body of Christ. This is what you're saying when you become a member. I'm part of something bigger than myself. It's not just my identity and who I am, but I'm actually part of something bigger than me. I'm part of something outside of me. I'm part of the body of Christ. And I want to show that. I want to declare that. I want to say that through formally joining this church at Hardin Baptist Church. Here's what Mark Dever says. I love this quote about identity. He says, when a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't just join a local church because it's a good habit for growing in spiritual maturity. He joins a local church because it is the expression of what God has made him, a member of the body of Christ. Why join? Because it's an expression of who God made you. He made you part of the body of Christ when you became a believer. So when you connect to a local body of believers, you're saying, here's what you made me, Jesus, and I want to fulfill that. I want to be a member of a local body of believers because I believe that glorifies Jesus. So why should you join? Why should you join our assembly? Why should you join our gathering? Why should you publicly and formally join Hardin Baptist Church? I think for those four reasons: for commitment, for partnership, for accountability, and for identity. In a sense, it's saying, I want to be the church. Not just come, not just attend, not just participate, but I want to be the church. And that's how we think that you do it here, is by formally joining and saying, yes, I'm committed, yes, I'm partnering, yes, I'm accountable, and yes, I am you, the body of Christ. So then the question comes, thirdly, is this: how do I become a church member? Some of you have been asking that question for a long time. How in the world do I join Hardin? It's kind of a running joke. How do I join Hardin? We have some confusion. How exactly what do I do? New people find it really hard to join our church because it's sort of confusing. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I do? So what we wanted to do is provide a very easy three-part process, three steps in becoming a church member. So whether you do that at the end of this series or whether you do it 6 months down the road, you know how to become a member at Hardin Baptist Church. So, man, I've bought into it. I know what membership is. Now I want to do it because I know why I should join. So I'm just setting on go. Tell me how, Corey. Tell me how to join. Okay, here is what you do to join the church. Step one is this: listen to the Belong sermon series. Now, great news, you're already doing this. You're already 1/4 of a way through this. So for you, if you're sitting here thinking, oh, how am I going to join? You just come back to the next three sermons. It's going to be very easy. You set through them. You listen to them. Now, past this sermon series, when new people come into the church, they're going to get a new membership packet that's going to have these four sermons in them. So they will listen to them. So everyone at Hardin knows this is what it means to be a member. This is what members do. This is what members are expected to do. So we're all on the same page of membership. So for you, here's the easy step. If you're not a member, just stick with us for the next 3 weeks. And you'll have already done step one. Congratulations. We try to make that very easy. Just hang with us for 3 more weeks. Now, the second step is this. The second step is meet with a pastor. This is a step we already do currently in church membership, but this is a step we wanted to keep, and it's meet with a pastor. In meeting with a pastor, there's going to be a conversation between you and us, and that is, are you a Christian? Because to be a member, you have to be a Christian. So we're going to get a testimony from you. Have you been biblically baptized? To be a member at Hardin, you got to be biblically baptized. So we're going to ask those questions. And we want to get to know you. We want to know who you are and where you're from. And we want to know a little bit more about you. And we want you to know a little bit more about us. So during that meeting, we're going to have that connection. We're going to get your testimony, your baptism. We talk through any questions you might have. We'll fill out some paperwork that goes with membership, name, addresses, family, information, all those kind of stuff. So the first step, listen to the sermons. Second step is meet with a pastor. We'll have a very clear way on how to schedule that, how to set up a meeting. So that will be a very easy next step to take once you've listened to the four sermons. Then what's the third step? What do you do after that? Here's the third step. attend a new member gathering. We're really excited about this step, attending a new member gathering. So what does that look like? Every other month, on Sunday afternoon, we're going to have a new member lunch. And during that new member lunch, all the new members who have listened to the sermons, met with the pastor, they then are going to meet together as a group for a new member gathering. At that gathering, we're going to have the staff, we're going to have the pastors, we're going to have deacons, we're going to have a lot of people that you would want to meet that are going to want to meet you, and you're going to get some more information about who we are and just some things about what membership is. And then during that time, you're going to also get to see the other people joining the church along with you. Because I think it's going to be a really neat thing, that it's not just you joining, but there's two other families that are joining as well, and you're going in this together. So you're not solo, but you're together with people. And one of the things we're going to do during that meeting is we are going to covenant together. We're going to make promises to each other concerning membership. And the promises will be around those five things: gathering, connecting, serving, giving, and going. We're going to commit to one another. I'm in, and I'm going to do my part to be a church member. So how in the world do I join the church at Hardin Baptist? Well, for you, we're going to make it really easy during these 4 weeks. Because step one, just come and listen. You're going to understand more about membership, what it is, what it looks like at Hardin. And then what we're going to have is the end of our 4 week series, we're going to have a card. And it's going to be an opportunity for you right then and there to take a step towards becoming a member. And this card is going to have for members and for non-members. For non-members, you're going to fill out your information. You're going to check, I want to become a member. Drop it in a bucket. And then we're going to contact you about meeting and about the new member fellowship. So we are going to do a lot of legwork to try to make it very easy for you to become a member. So you're just going to check, I want to be a member. Drop it in the plate. We're going to contact you and walk you through the next two steps. So we're going to try to make this very easy. Now, if you are a member, what we really desire is for all the members at Hardin to also on that card check, I am a current member and I have a renewed vision for membership. I want to recommit to be the church. So if you're a member here after these 4 weeks, you're saying, man, I had no idea what membership really was. I had no idea what it really entailed. We want you to say, I'm on board again. I recommit to this church to say, I want to renew my membership here at Hardin Baptist Church. Now, if you don't do that, it doesn't mean you're not a member anymore. What we're saying is just as a member, what we hope is that you would catch a new vision for membership and that you would say, check, I want to, as married couples often do over the years, they renew their vows. That's what we want you in a sense to do, to say, I have a rekindled passion for membership and I want to say, check, I'm in, put it in. And then we want to have just a really cool way for us as members and non-members to respond to what God is going to teach us through these next 4 weeks. So hopefully, during this time, we've answered your questions about what is membership, why should I join, and how do I join? And what I would encourage you is no matter what your thoughts are right now about membership, that you would hang with us for the next 3 weeks. Brother Ricky's going to come next week, and he's going to bring a message over those five areas. What do we expect from membership? What does that mean? What does that look like? So I encourage you to come back. And then we're going to have two more on membership and what we want you to pray through. If you're not a member, we want you to start praying now about joining us. Formally saying, yes, I'm committed and I'm a partner and I'm accountable and I'm identifying with you as an expression of who I am, the body of Christ. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that God would use this series to really have a new passion for membership here at Hardin Baptist Church. And what we would love for you is to join with us as we try to do what Jesus wants us to do, which is to grow as disciples and make disciples of all nations. If you would, pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get to talk through church membership. God, I pray that we would see what the church is. It's not a place, but it's a people. It's a gathering. Pray that we would see that church membership is just formally saying yes to that gathering, to instead of just coming to the church, to transitioning into being the church. So God, I pray that you would stir in the members a renewed vision for membership, And I pray that you would stir in a heart for those who aren't members yet to desire and to want to take the step of membership so that they can truly belong to us and truly be the church that you've called us to be. Father, we thank you and we praise you in the good name of Jesus Christ. Amen.